You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to Super Swings, a miniseries from The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome, I'm Mo Brady. Now, it's been a few years since we shared stories from Broadway's superheroes, The Swings. These actors have some of the most challenging jobs in theater. Hero might not be each of their middle names, but they are definitely superheroes of Broadway. In general, swings are hired to understudy multiple ensemble tracks on a show. They're asked to remember all of the lines, blocking, choreography, vocal harmonies, and backstage traffic for multiple roles. The number of roles they cover vary from show to show, but it's usually every role in the ensemble, sometimes of all genders. Last season, 288 actors worked as swings on Broadway. That's literally a third of the performers working under Actors Equity Chorus contracts. When people say the show must go on, swings are usually the people who make that happen. Christopher Rice spent more than 4 years as a swing on the Broadway production of The Book of Mormon, where he covered the seven men in the Mormon ensemble. He's also toured the country as Baby John in West Side Story and in Irving Berlin's White Christmas. This summer, Chris has been working as a vacation swing on the soon-to-close Broadway production of Pretty Woman, so we caught him in the middle of his rehearsal process to tell us what the experience has been like. Here's our conversation.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, very good. Will you introduce yourself and tell us what neighborhood of New York City you live in?
I'm Christopher Rice, and I live in Hell's Kitchen.
In its simplest form, what is a swing?
Swings could go on stage for, I would say, probably two different main reasons. One would be if a principal is out and the understudy would go on to play the lead role. The understudy would usually be in the ensemble, so a swing would fill the ensemble position. And another time a swing would go on is if an ensemble member would take a vacation, personal day, or go to a wedding or funeral, kind of like any other job when they take a personal day. A swing's job is to fill the track.
And at its most complicated, what is the role of a swing?
Problem solving to the max and fixing problematic scenarios on the fly. Often playing multiple people at once if multiple people are out of the show and there's not enough coverage. Split shows, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point in this podcast, but split shows come along and you may have to be two or three different people, or two different swings could be on covering four guys that are out. And you have to make sure that different people get their props and the set pieces get adjusted if the set is moved by any actors, while maintaining all the formations and the dances, making sure all the harmony lines are covered. It gets quite extensive at times.
What's the most tracks that you've been asked to cover at one time?
Eight. I covered seven in my last show, and then my current project, The Swings, cover eight.
And how do you like to keep track of notes? Every person kind of keeps track of things their own personal way.
No, absolutely. I feel like everybody has, just as we all learn differently, we also, you know, can maintain a track in a different way. For me, I have a three-ring binder or like a spiral notebook, depending on the project. And I put the person's, it's like a cheat sheet. I put the person's name at the top. I write down entrance, exits, anything that's different with the choreography or staging or harmony lines. If I had any questions and my memory wasn't serving me correctly, I could go back and glance at my notes. And for me, that's what helps. And I can, if the show allows you to check your notes backstage, and during scenes that you're not on for, that's a good time to just glance down at your notes. I know a lot of people use note cards, or some people use, you know, apps on their iPad, which is, that's really cool. But for me, just paper and pen. And
how much rehearsal does a swing usually get to learn all of those roles that they have to take?
In my experience, I've been a replacement swing, so I've joined a pre-existing show, and I've had a more leisurely experience swinging because I have got to join a show that was set in stone. This person stands on this number, on this track, and sings this part. Then they move to this area, and it's kind of mapped out. So I'm learning a pre-existing show. If you are a part of a show that's new, my fiance has swung a couple shows, and he has joined from many different parts of the process. Sometimes he joins mid-show, sometimes he joins mid-tech, and he's joined at the beginning of the process too. So he's gotten to experience swinging from the beginning, middle, and end kind of a rehearsal process. When it's a new show, there's a lot of changes that happen as the creative team decides to cut numbers, make adjustments, add costumes. Things change a lot. What's been great about the projects I have joined to swing, they have given me ample time to like learn the pre-existing track and also move at a rate that I'm comfortable with. My first show, I had 2 weeks to learn my first track.
Do you rehearse on stage? Do you rehearse in a rehearsal room?
Both. I've started learning my most recent show with the dance captain and assistant dance captain, and actually a replacement dance captain who was learning the show. We learned at Ripley Greer Studio, smaller studios. They taught me the dances, and then they had some time on stage. It costs money to put people into a show. It costs thousands of dollars because it's not just costumes and wigs and things like that. It's the rehearsal time and rehearsal space, with stage managers being paid and the dance staff being paid and musical director being paid, on top of the actor who's learning the show getting paid. So it's an expensive process to put somebody into a show. And it also costs money to rehearse on stage because they have to hire representatives from the different unions. So you have to have like a union head there to rehearse on stage. So, but I was fortunate enough to get to rehearse on stage a little bit by myself.
You've talked a little bit about some of the other things that a swing needs to know about a track. But in addition to choreography and music and lines, what are those other things?
From the audience point of view, Broadway looks really, really big and expansive. Backstage, for most shows, it's really tight and really, it's a danger zone. So you have to know where you can stand when there's not a set piece coming and going from the stage or from above. A lot of the wings on the sides of the stage, they are really small. There's not enough space for all the set pieces. So they often fly them overhead, sometimes two and three, like it stacks one scene on top of another scene on top of another scene, all flying overhead. And if you are in the wrong place at the wrong time, clearly there's a crew there to watch out for any actors, but you just want to make sure that you're not in anybody's way, because it can be the most stressful part about swinging is remembering where to be backstage and where not to be backstage, as well as...
Are there certain things that make a track easier or harder to learn?
I think learning a track for the first time is like, okay, it's more to wrap your head around because it's, you don't know the ins and outs of the show yet. And then once you kind of have the first track, to me, everything else kind of is like, okay, so track A stands there. Okay, now I'm track B, so I'm track A is to my right. So you kind of start to map it out. The more tracks you know, it actually is easier because you're seeing all the pieces of the puzzle. And you're saying, oh, yeah, I know that because that's how the door gets open and I walk through the door. So that makes sense. You kind of start to get ahead and you kind of start to figure out things from observing the show and observing rehearsals. You see the domino effects that take place. So I think when tracks are like the tracks you learn later, for me, have been more easy for me to pick up. You can, if this first one takes you, you know, a couple days, the fifth track may just take you 30 minutes of, yeah, you know what to do. Stand there, stand there, stand there. This one's on the right, not the left, and you're good to go. Also, if some tracks may be more featured vocally or featured physically, say there's a dance sequence that a certain dancer does, not every person's in every number for the most part, if it's a musical. If you are swinging in a full ensemble, some of those people cover the leads, and usually they may have a little bit lighter of a track, so it's not so aggressive to go on when they need to go on for the lead, and it's easier for you to jump in.
So let's talk about the Book of Mormon. Was there a track in that show that was harder or easier?
Honestly, Book of Mormon was pretty tough all around. Like, they were, each track asked a lot of you. I covered 7 different guys, as I said, and Mormon's really fun to swing because each track gets a feature of its own. So you may be, you know, Jesus or Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer, or if you haven't seen the show, this will all make sense when you see it.
Let's assume that most people listening to a theater podcast in 2019 have seen the Book of Mormon.
Let's hope so. If not, pause this, go see the show, and then come back because you don't want to finish this. But most of those tracks had a feature, and I think the ones that were harder or less hard would just be amount of effort. If I was singing like the top 10 or 1, it took a lot more out of me than to like kind of relax and sing the lower notes. So I think in that show, for me personally, and the skills that I brought to that task,
after 4.5 years, you must be comfortable with the tracks, even 7 of them.
Yeah.
Would you get nervous going on?
My fellow swing at Book of Mormon, Matthew,
Matthew Marks,
yeah, great guy. It was like nothing fazed him. They'd be like, you're on for zones. I'd be like, okay. And he would do it and he would kill it. And it was like he never had to think about it. I don't know if he did inside of his brain, but maybe my brain maintains information differently because I would need to like think through things a little bit. Even if I would know the information, I was comfortable going on. But I think I'm such a perfectionist that I was like, am I doing it right? I never wanted to not second guess myself for a moment to just get in the groove before I went on stage. And sometimes you don't have that luxury because sometimes you're thrown on mid-show. If I was thrown on ever, I knew my stuff. I didn't ever, you know, bomb or totally forget anything. I like to go through my whole track in my brain. If I like a little like, okay, here's what we're doing tonight. You good? Great. Let's do it. You know, kind of get the roadmap in front of you. So yes, I was definitely comfortable enough to go on.
Do you know how many shows you did?
Gosh, I knew at one point. Hundreds. I was there. I joined before the 2000th performance, and I was there long after the 3000th performance. So I was in the building for quite a few performances. And I would say I was probably on overall my time, I'd say like 40-45% of the time. So enough. And then it was also nice because while doing a show for a long time, is such a great, experience to have. It was also nice that I was swinging. I could, for my body, the normal aches and pains that would come with the show happened to my body differently because I would get to reverse and do the other side for a while if I was on the other side of the stage for a number, or I would get time to rest backstage. So it was a really big blessing in disguise. That downtime brought a lot of other artistic endeavors that were also creatively satisfying. So I'm thankful for that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So what's the least amount of notice you've gotten?
Mid-Act 1. They'd be like, you're on in the next scene, shave. So I was like, okay. An actor's voice just started to go out. Allergies hit, and his voice over the first 2 songs just kind of faded away. And then I was on in the next scene. Yeah. I was also put on, someone was stuck on a train, and our stage manager came in and was like, just, you know, so-and-so's on a train, and the train stuck, so I'll let you know. And I was like, let me know, it's 5. And then they were like, places for the top of the show, and they were like, late scratch, Crystal Beyond for so-and-so's track, And what you also may not realize as a non-theater person or as a theater person, maybe elsewhere, the layouts of Broadway theaters are often, the dressing rooms are stacked up in different floors. So we are up like 4.5 floors up for the Mormon Boys, and sound is in the basement and wardrobe's in the basement. And they have to get you a microphone up to your floor. They have to get you costumes. They didn't hold the curtain. They weren't like, great, we'll make sure Chris is ready. They said places, and then 5 minutes later, usually when it starts, they were like, ladies and gentlemen, the Book of Mormon will begin in 1 minute. I'm upstairs. I'm in underwear with a part down the middle of my head where I'm putting my microphone in. And I have to go down 5.5 flights to the basement across the bottom of the stage. And I'm the first person to walk onto the stage after the show starts. So it was maddening. It was crazy. And then you have no time. It's not even like you don't get to think about anything. You're like, you blink and then you're in front of an audience, which is kind of exhilarating.
Sounds totally exhilarating. Yeah,
and nerve-wracking, but it's a good time.
So what is a split track?
A split track usually occurs when there are more people out of the show than there is coverage in the building. So for any show, there's usually a couple swings, couple understudies, occasionally a vacation swing that's in the building. If there's not enough people to have an understudy or a swing play each role that's usually in the cast, they will fully eliminate. They have to. So one person, there's not enough people. So-and-so's track won't exist tonight. So a split track would mean my job as a swing is to come and fill in for Joe and Bob, the two guys that are both out, and I need to do the main things in both of their tracks. If it's like dance partnering, like a guy and a girl at a ball or something, like in Cinderella, they would sometimes eliminate a couple, and then someone would sit in on the side. Once in West Side Story, we didn't have enough coverage, and I was Baby John in that production. On the road, and at one point, my dance partner, Jessica, she had to dance with one of like the lead jets because there were so many girls out. And so I just stood on the side because we didn't have enough coverage. The same experience in West Side Story. We had this great dance captain swing named Kirsten Tucker, and she, she's unreal. She played both a shark and a jet girl one night because there were not enough girls. So she was doing a split track, literally playing two polar opposite, Either she went from the Dance of the Gem to like Cool and then to America and went back and forth characters. It was just crazy. She would change wigs and dresses and run back on stage. And that was like the epitome in my brain of like what a split track is, covering multiple different people with one body.
How often do split tracks occur?
I think it's different for each production. With Book of Mormon, there's a song in the show called 2x2, which you're probably familiar with. And literally every white male in the show has a counterpart. So they can't ever do a cut show. And there's it's 2x2. So it can't be 2x1, So Book of Mormon, at least in my experience there, always had enough people in the building to cover. So we never had a split track for any of the Mormon boys. And split tracks, I think they're a last resort. The goal of the producer, besides making money and then saving money, is to put on the show that everybody wants to see. And the thing is, most people wouldn't notice that the split track is occurring. Maybe only the mega fans or the repeat customers that have seen the show so many times that they might catch a little subtle difference like that. But split tracks, it's probably different, I guess, for each show. And the goal is for them not to happen often. And then if they do happen, for the audience not to even know.
You talked a little bit about your feelings about swinging before you had the opportunity to do it yourself, and that you thought, oh, that's something that other people can do. It's not something that I really want to take on until you were given the opportunity. How have your feelings about swinging changed over time?
That's a really great question. I'm really appreciative of my time as a swing. It's taught me, I keep on saying it taught me so much, but it really has given me the gift of knowledge in a lot of different areas of what it takes to put on a show. I respect every swing that has ever swung. And some people may swing and say, oh gosh, I'm not great at this. And some people may swing, like my fiance loves swinging, and he loves like the rush of going on stage last minute. And he like thrives on that feeling. No matter what your experience with swinging is, it's kind of like people say everyone should wait tables at some point in their life so they know how to treat a server correctly. Kind of same with like swinging. I think everyone should learn what it takes to be a swing, and then the lessons you learn from it are just irreplaceable.
Lessons like what?
Forgiveness for yourself if things don't go perfectly. I mentioned trust in yourself and what you're capable of, but also trusting that you know information even when you're thrown into a situation where you haven't had extra amount of time to have a cushy, relaxing process that day for the show. It helps you see the big picture of what it takes to put on a show, and also what it takes for each little moment to occur. And it also gives you an appreciation for every cast member, because even if someone has one track, they don't cover anybody in the show every night, they're so valuable, and the work they're doing is so important. And a swing is the only person that really gets to dip their toes in all of those different roles. I feel like every role I've ever played or every show I've ever been a part of is, you know, you walk away with lessons learned. And as a swing, you get to learn all the lessons for each of those parts. And it's a challenge, and it's also something I wouldn't trade.
Special thanks to Christopher Rice for sharing his stories with us this week. You can learn more about him and how to connect with him online by visiting our website, theensemblist.com. The Ensemblist was produced today by me, Mo Brady. You guys, you can help others find out about The Ensemblist by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. These have been coming in, and they make my heart so happy when I see them. Thank you so much for those of you who have been leaving those. And if you haven't left one yet, there's still time. There's still infinity amount of time. So please, if you have a moment, just leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also download episodes wherever you get your podcasts or at theensemblist.com. And make sure you're following us on Instagram to see the latest posts from our website, original photography, and some spectacular blog posts written by actors working on Broadway and around the country. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.